Want to encourage you to have your Bible out this morning as we study together. We're going to be looking at a number of passages in the New Testament and even go back to an Old Testament passage as we consider the subject of the judgment day or the day of judgment. We're going to start in Luke chapter 16. I would encourage you to turn there. Luke chapter 16. We'll read verses 19 through 26 in just a moment. So thankful for the presence of each and every one with us here this morning. We do have a number of visitors with us. We're honored to have you in our presence and hope you'll come back and be with us again the next time that you may have opportunity. Whatever it is that's brought you our way, we're thankful for that. We're going to meet again later today at 3 o'clock for our second worship assembly. And this being the fourth Sunday of the month, it will be a service that we devote to singing songs and reading scriptures. And we encourage you to come back and be with us during that worship assembly. And starting tomorrow night through Friday night at 7 o'clock, our Vacation Bible School is going to begin. So the VBS will start tomorrow night. Preparation for that has already been underway, but as is usually the case, this afternoon after services, the classrooms are going to get a makeover for the excitement, preparing for the VBS, but we encourage you to come back and be with us, having classes for all ages, including in the adult class here in the auditorium. We encourage you to be with us, help us, support us in that effort this week. In Luke chapter 16, let's start reading at verse 19. Jesus says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.'" There are a lot of good lessons that we need to learn from this account of the rich man and Lazarus. One thing that we learn is that upon his death, this man knew where he was going to spend eternity. Not only that, but he learned that he would never leave and he would never receive even the smallest amount of relief or mercy. His fate was sealed. And through this, we understand the scriptures that teach that our faith is sealed upon death. When we die, we're going to know where we're going to spend eternity. So that brings the question, why the day of judgment? If we already know upon death what's going to happen to us, then why do we read of the day of judgment in which all of mankind, everyone who's ever lived is going to be brought before the Lord, is going to be judged by Him, and then is going to be sent to heaven or sent to hell? And we'll look at the passages that teach that as we study this morning. But the question is, why? If we already know, why the day of judgment? Well, we know that the Lord has a purpose for everything that He has planned. And there's a reason for judgment day. There's a reason for the day of judgment. Let's consider what its purpose is. First, the Bible tells us that the day of judgment will be a day of reckoning. That is, it will be a day in which we will be called upon to give an account for our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to be looking, as I said, at a number of passages, but we're Come back to Matthew 25 and in the latter part of chapter 24 a number of times. You may find it convenient to place a marker here, as we'll come back to it a number of times. In the parable of the talents here in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, we are told that there is a man who travels to a far country. He calls his servants to himself and he delivers his goods to them. And to one servant he gives 5 talents, to another one 2, and to another one 1 talent. And the talent here refers to a sum of money. And then he goes on his journey, and the individuals, the first 2, make use of their talents. The third one doesn't. He goes and buries his and hides it in the ground. But notice in verse 19, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So one thing we learn from this parable is that there's going to come a time in which we're going to have to give an account. And that's something that the Scriptures definitely teach us, that we have been created in the image of God, and God has given us accountability. And there's going to come a day in which we're going to be called upon to give an account. Preachers are going to have to give an account for the work that they have done in preaching the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, some passages that are familiar to most of us, whether we're preachers or not, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the old King James Version says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Some of the newer translations say, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In what sense would a preacher be ashamed? Well, when he has to give an account to God. How have you done? If you've not given yourself with diligence to doing your work, you're going to be ashamed on that day of accountability. In chapter 4 and verse 1, notice Paul says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. And goes on to talk about this responsibility, talk about the need for this responsibility. And then at verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Why? Because there's going to come a day in which you're going to have to give an account. So do it, and do it right. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, we are told that teachers need to take their task very seriously. James says, brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. This would definitely apply to preachers, but would apply to anyone who takes on the task of teaching the Word of God or claiming to speak for God from His Word and explain to people what God has said and what it means. We are held to a stricter judgment. Now, this stricter judgment is in part from our fellow man, no doubt, but I believe ultimately it comes from God Himself. So as a preacher of the gospel, I look at these passages I've just shared with you, and they're very serious verses. I'm going to have to give an account one day. You know what? Elders are going to have to give an account to the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, at chapter 13 and verse 17, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Those who serve as elders are going to be called upon to give an account one day. We read in our Bible class hour in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 about the great shepherd, the true shepherd, the chief shepherd. Shepherd, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. John Sellers knows that he's going to have to give an account for the way he has served as an elder. Jeff Conover knows he's going to have to give an account for the way he has served as an elder. Randy Reeder knows this. Randy Harvey knows this. Mike Heppner even knows this. He's not here today. He and Jan will be here tomorrow, but I know he'll listen to this. These men know that they're going to have to give an account. They're going to have to give an answer for the way they have fulfilled their responsibility of overseeing the church here. But you know what? We're all going to have to do this. It's not just preachers, and it's not just elders. It's everyone. In the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Let's start at verse 11. Romans chapter 14 and at verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." We're all going to give an account of our lives unto God. When? Verse 10. "But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." On that day, on judgment day, we'll all give an account. We'll give an account for the things that we have done. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Are you ready to give an account for everything that you have done? Or those things that you failed to do that you know you should have? We'll give an account for that. But even more than that, Matthew chapter 12 tells us we'll give an account for the things that we have said. In Matthew chapter 12, at verses 36 and 37, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." The words that we speak, we're going to give an account for that. Technology has come a long way in the past 2,000 years. The words that we have texted, the words that we've emailed and sent out there for the world to see, we'll give an account for that. But you know, I believe even more than that, in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." I believe we'll give an account for our very thoughts on that day. What's the purpose of Judgment Day? It's a day when you and I are going to have to answer for the lives that we've lived, the things that we've done, the things that we've said, the things that our hearts have entertained. Are you ready for Judgment Day? Are you ready for that day? Are you prepared? Because it's coming. It's a day of reckoning. Secondly, the Bible tells us that Judgment Day will be a day of recompense. And by that we mean that it'll be a time for us to receive what's coming to us. Going back to the parable of the talents, when the master came back and called his servants in to settle accounts with them, to the five-talent man, the two-talent man, to the two that had used their talents, the Lord said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." But that man who had the one talent and wasted it and did not use it, but his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What happens on that day? On that day, we get what's coming to us. Those who are righteous will receive their reward. Turn with me to 2 Timothy again, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read verses, or looked at verses 1 through 5. Now I want to look at verses 6 through 8. This letter is written at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, and he knows that the end is coming. He says in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing."
Why do we need the day of judgment? If we already know where we're going to spend eternity, if after we close our eyes in death, we open them up and find ourselves in paradise, find ourselves in Abraham's bosom, why do we need judgment day? Because Paul says there's a part of our reward that we won't receive until that day. So we'll want that day to come. We'll want that day so that we can receive the fullness of our reward. But it's also on that day that the wicked will receive their wages. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the righteous will receive that gift, but the wages will be given to the wicked on judgment day. Now, we all taste death because of sin, but that's not the wage that's talked about there. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we have a scene of this final judgment day. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." This is the judgment throne, the Lord sitting on it on judgment day. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who are in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is, now get this, "this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The lake of fire, that's the wages for sin. That second death. And that's not delivered in this lifetime. And that's not even delivered immediately after death. That comes after judgment day. You see, no one dies and goes directly into heaven. No one dies and goes directly into hell. We go to the Hadean realm, where there is that gulf between those who are in paradise and those who are in torments. But after the resurrection of the dead, and after judgment day, then the righteous will enter into heaven and receive that crown, receive the fullness of their reward, and the wicked will enter into hell and experience forever that second death, that lake of fire. Why do we need the day of judgment? Well, it's a day of recompense. Are you ready to receive what's coming to you? Are you really ready to receive what's coming to you? Think about that. Third, the Bible says that judgment day will be a day of rectifying. By that we mean it will be the day in which things are finally made right. We have to admit that not all wrongs and not all injustices are made right in this life. We understand that. We see that around about us. And for some people, It's a point of stumbling for some to look and to see the injustices. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to Psalm 73. I said we'd look at one passage from the Old Testament. In the 73rd Psalm, Asaph is writing about something that he had observed and had become very discouraged over, and that is the prosperity of the wicked. How it is that he could look around him and he could see wicked people prospering, just floating through life, never experiencing any problems, never suffering any setbacks whatsoever, while he and other righteous people try to do what is right, tried their very best, and they fell to the left and to the right. Start at verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. I serve God in vain. There's no reason to do what is right when the wicked prosper. And he starts off in verse 2 by saying, I almost stumbled over this point. I almost gave up. I almost quit. Until, look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Until I gained some insights and wisdom and understood that God's not finished dealing with these people yet. And he's not finished dealing with me. I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You be with me. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Asaph learned what we all need to learn about the suffering and injustices in this world. God's going to take care of it. But it might not be until then. They're not all taken care of. They're not all straightened out during our life here. But they will be made right on Judgment Day. Because everyone is going to be judged in righteousness by the righteous judge. In Acts chapter 17... Paul is preaching to the Athenians on Mars Hill. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. Paul says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Not every judgment that we see in our world is a righteous judgment. As we look into the world today, rulers make decisions that cause us as God's people to become very frustrated. Courts pass down decisions and we scratch our heads and wonder, what are people thinking? There is no justice. There is no righteousness. There is no consideration at all for the Word of God and His righteous standards. Things happen to us. We suffer personally injustices that may be taken care of. People may be called upon to give an account, make restitution for them, and they may never be called upon to acknowledge to us that they've wronged us in this life. But a day is coming when they will. A day is coming when they will. God's people will be avenged on that day. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. It's a church that suffered persecution early on for their faith. As a matter of fact, Paul and his companions had to leave that city because of the threat of persecution. And he writes in 1 Thessalonians about his concern for them and how they are holding up under the persecution. Then in 2 Thessalonians he writes and he gives them hope. He says in chapter 1 verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. Okay, God is going to repay with tribulation those who trouble God's people. Well, why doesn't He do it? When's this going to happen? Verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day. What day? Judgment day. When He comes on that day, every wrong is going to be made right. Every injustice is going to be punished and straightened out. Everything that has been done against the will of God and God's people, it'll be taken care of on that day. Every debate that has over the truth that has had somebody walk away denying the truth, they'll admit it that day. They'll acknowledge it that day. Every wrong will be made right. Every injustice will be atoned for on that day. I tell you, we need Judgment Day. We need to know that when God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, that He will repay. And we may not see it in this life, but we know that it will happen. So we serve a God who takes care of His people. Why the day of judgment? Because everything needs to be made right. And it will be made right on that day. Now, here's some things that you and I need to know about the day of judgment. Because there are some misunderstandings about the day of judgment. For one, the Bible does not teach that judgment day will be our day in court. When we're called upon to give an account for the things that we do and say, it's not like we're going to be able to argue with God and make the case for our salvation. A judgment day is a day of sentencing. It's a day of declaring our fate. You want your day in court? You want your day to make your case for God that you are to be saved and that you don't want to be eternally lost? That's today. That's right now. Today is your day in court. Today is the day that you argue your case with God. On that day, your fate is sealed. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 32. After the parable of the talents, we have another vision of final judgment when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. That's what's happening on the day of judgment. It's that day of separation. It's that day of sentencing. It's not your day in court. That's now. That's today. Secondly, there are only two possible outcomes to judgment day. You look down at the end of this chapter. Of all of mankind that is gathered before the Lord, and He divides them into only two groups, it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There is no third group. There is no purgatory where someone is taken from one group and put over into the other group. We already saw in Luke chapter 16 that doesn't happen. No, it only ends one of two ways. Now you decide which it is for you. We don't know when judgment day is going to come. Now, obviously, from passages like Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. Obviously, judgment comes after death, but you know, the Lord can return any time. The Lord can come back at any time. And the instructions given to us regarding that matter is that we're to be ready for it. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44, Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, Jesus says, watch therefore, For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He could come back at any time. We may have vacation Bible school tomorrow. We may not. We may have services at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We may not. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. But we do know that when He returns, our fate is sealed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you ready? I mean, really ready to give an account before the Lord right now? We need to live as if we are. And how do we get ready? How do we prepare for the day of judgment? Not by ignoring it. Not by putting it off. Not by taking for granted that surely God loves me and He wouldn't want me to perish. No. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 that the Lord is going to be revealed with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to prepare for this day? Because it's coming. There's no way to avoid it. And the only way to prepare for it is for you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, while you have time, while you have opportunity, this is the day of our salvation. This is the day to confess your faith in Christ. This is the day to repent and turn your life unto God. This is the day to be buried with Christ in baptism and to become His child. If you've not done so, you need to obey the gospel and you need to do it now. And if you've done that in the past, but you've become unfaithful to the Lord, and you've allowed sin to come into your life, and you've separated yourself from God, and you've started to walk a different path, you need to repent, and you need to seek God's forgiveness, and you need to do it now. Because you don't know when that trumpet's going to sound, and the sky is going to rip open, and your fate is sealed. Are you ready for judgment day? Are you ready for that day to come? There is a great day coming. And it's no secret. The Scriptures talk about it through and through. And it's a day that the Lord came and died on the cross to prepare us for and left instruction for us that we would be prepared for that day. If you're here this morning and you're not prepared, you need to do so. We extend an invitation every time we assemble ourselves together. Why? To encourage people to be ready for this day, for the day of judgment. Right now, if you need to obey the gospel, the water is ready, and we'd be honored to hear your confession of faith and to assist you in your baptism. If you're here as a Christian and you have sin in your life and you know you're not ready for that day, and we can help you to get ready, then step forward and make what confession you need to make, and let us help you and encourage you to be ready for that judgment day. Are you ready? Let's find out. Come as we stand and sing this song.